Just want to bring a very simple, straightforward message. And it's from Matthew chapter 8, 23 to 27. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown!" He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." So what's this message all about? What's the story all about? You'll find also the parallel account in Mark's Gospel. We'll refer to that along the way. It's all about faith. Who are we going to believe in? Are we going to believe in our circumstances, or are we going to believe in God? Are we going to look and see what we see and say, everything's just going to fall apart? Or are we going to look to Jesus? God wants us to live by faith, walk by faith, and not by sight. God expects us to live by faith. He does not want you to be controlled by circumstances or by fear. He wants you to live in the reality that God is in control. How many of you know that God is in control? But then how many of us act as if God is in control? The only way that we're going to be the people of God that he expects us to be is if we exercise faith. For the disciples, it was an example to trust in Jesus. So let's just observe some few things from this and learn along the way. First of all, I want you to notice that the storm was not of their own making. Then he got in the boat and his disciples followed him. The storm was not their fault. It just happened. They were minding their own business. They had done nothing wrong. Their behaviour had nothing to do with what was happening. The storm came. And maybe this is important to highlight, because so often when a storm comes our way, we say, "What have I done wrong?" The inference being sometimes that God is punishing us, that somehow God has got it in for us because we have done something wrong, and our whole life is there's a storm in our life because God is punishing us and is wanting to vent his wrath on our behaviour. Well, that's an Old Testament theology, really. The Old Testament theology that thought that, for as an example, that the man that was born blind that Jesus healed, they all thought that he was born blind because his parents had sinned. That it was a consequence of sin, that it was a punishment for sin. But of course, we've got to remember now that we live post the cross, post the atonement. Jesus has taken the punishment of God on our behalf. The wrath is upon Jesus. And therefore, we now live in that time of grace, and God is not out to punish us with his wrath, because Jesus has taken that on our behalf. And so often, again, we just need to get this into our head, that it is not God that is venting his anger on us, punishing us because there's a storm. The disciples have done nothing wrong. And so often when we come and look at our lives, when illness comes upon our lives, when something happens in our life that is particularly traumatic, it's not a case of what have I done wrong. You've done nothing wrong. You've been minding your own business. You've been following Jesus just as the disciples were in this instance. And then we've got to get away from this idea that God is out to punish us. One of the things that was very prevalent when there was that Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, you remember about that time when a lot of people lost their lives, and there were a lot of preachers worldwide were saying, "Oh, God is venting his anger. He's punishing the people of New Orleans, and they're all dying, and they've all lost their houses because God is venting his anger because of the way that they're behaving." But we're living in that dispensation of grace at the minute, where God does not treat us as we behave. There will be a day of wrath for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ. But we're living in that time of grace now. And God was not venting his anger. You know, common sense would have told us that the reason why there was all the flooding in New Orleans was because the people that built New Orleans built it in a basin below sea level, and the sea walls that they built around, the levees that they built around to protect it from the sea, they built of substandard concrete, so when there was any kind of storm that came along, everybody got flooded. That was the real reason. And we got these... There was this UKIP councillor that was thrown out as well, saying all the floods in the Lake District were all because God was angry. God is not angry with you if there's a storm in your life. You've done nothing wrong. The disciples have done nothing wrong. It was just a fact of life. Sometimes the storms in our lives are just a fact of life. In this world you will have trouble, says John 16:33. But having said what I have just said, we've got to remember that sometimes the storms in our lives are of our own making. They're just the consequences of some of the things that we have done. So as an example, exaggerated example, Frank, this is, you know, not real, but exaggerated for dramatic effect, all right? So you have somebody who comes up to me and says, Pastor, I'm going through a right turmoil at the moment, right? It's right traumatic in my life at the minute. The bailiffs have turned up and they've taken my television set away. They've taken my plasma screen and my 5.1 surround sound away. They've taken all my iPads away and they've taken all my iMacs away. It's really dreadful. And you say to that person, well, I pretend it was Joshua. Joshua, how's this happened? Well, I took out a loan from Wonga because I wanted to buy an iPhone 6. Pastor, will you pray against it? Well, no, I won't pray against it. There's nothing, you know. This is the consequence of your own behaviour. It's not God punishing you, alright? That's the point that I've already established, that God's not out to punish us. It's not God punishing you, it's the consequence of your own silliness and foolishness. Yeah. And perhaps one of the first things that you need to do is get your finances in order. That's an exaggerated example, but believe me that sometimes we can make storms. Some of the storms that we have are of our own making. Silly decisions that we make with relationships. Silly decisions that we make with our finances. Silly decisions all over. And we are just bearing the fruit of what we have sown. Scriptural example of Jonah in the Bible is of Jonah, who suffered a storm because he decided that he was going to do his own thing rather than follow God. So sometimes storms are a fact of life. Sometimes the storms are of our own making. Sometimes the storms are whipped up by the enemy. Sometimes Satan kicks up a storm in our life to try to get us off track. And we've been talking a lot about this historically over the last couple of months, haven't we? 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, Paul says, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. And one of the things, one of the objects of the storms in our lives that Satan might send is to knock us off track, to hinder us from being the people of God that we want, that he wants us to be, to hinder us in our ministry, to hinder us from serving God, to hinder us from loving people as we ought, to hinder us from telling others about Jesus, to hinder us from being where we should be with the Lord. In this instance, the storm is whipped up by the enemy. Why do I say that? Because there are a few things that point in that direction. Matthew 8:26, it says, then he got up, that's Jesus, and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. So it wasn't of God's making, because God wouldn't rebuke himself. It wasn't the disciples' making, because he didn't rebuke the disciples. He rebuked the storm, the winds and the waves. If we look at the parallel verse from this account in Mark 4:39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And this word "be still," it's very sort of, it's "be still, be muzzled." I don't know whether you as parents, you've all been nice parents, haven't you, with your children, but sometimes our children get a little bit naughty and we just say, "Won't you just shut up?" You know, it was quite a stern, it was a rebuke. Be still. And it was the kind of word that, be muzzled, it was the kind of word that you would use to control a wild animal. You know, be muzzled, a wild animal on the loose. And so here we get the idea that Jesus was not just rebuking, he was rebuking the enemy. And we can have a look at another verse, Mark 1, 23-25, which comes up here on the screen. "Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' The impure spirit shook out the man violently and came out of him with a shriek." So we see the "be quiet" when he was telling the impure spirit to shut up is the exact same word in the Greek language here that Jesus uses, "be still," to calm the storm. And so theologians believe that therefore that the storm was of demonic content. You know, it was the enemy that was behind the storm. The storm wasn't the disciples' fault. Sometimes the storm can be the result of our foolishness. And by the way, you know, one of the things that we might need to ask ourselves when the storm is raging is there anything that I am doing that is pouring fuel on the fire, if you like? Then, but sometimes it is the enemy that is the source of the storm in our lives. So let's just examine this a little bit further. Verse 24, "Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat." Now here's a bit of history about Lake Galilee. 13 miles wide, 8 miles long. Its shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. And because the Sea of Galilee is below sea level, it was surrounded by mountains susceptible to sudden storms. It had its own microclimate. And so suddenly, out of nowhere, a storm could come. Very hard to detect. And it's interesting that even the disciples weren't expecting this storm. We know from the scripture that it suddenly came. But you've got to remember that the disciples were seasoned fishermen. And they weren't going to get in a boat if they knew that a storm was going to come. Just like someone who's a sailor here or takes a dinghy out. Mike still sails his dinghy. Do you sail dinghies or row dinghies? Anyway.
You can do both.
Anyway. And before he gets in his dinghy, he looks at the weather forecast, looks at the sky. Does it look like there's a storm brewing up? Is there a blue sky or not? Puts his finger in his mouth, puts his hand up in the air, see whether the wind's blowing and what have you. I can imagine that the disciples did something similar. They looked at the sky. It's blue. Is it windy? No. Is it the perfect day to get in the boat and go to the other side? Yes. They weren't expecting a storm. It came out of nowhere. It was unplanned and it was unexpected. And that is true when storms come our way. They come out of the blue without warning. Without warning, you get a phone call to say someone is ill. Without warning, you get a phone call to say someone has died. Without warning, you get someone who decides to get stroppy with you. Without warning, you receive bad news. Without warning, you receive an unexpected bill. Without warning, you are on top of the world one moment, but feeling lost the next. It was an unexpected, unpredicted, unplanned storm for the disciples. The storms that we face are often unpredicted, unplanned, and unpredictable. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Which gives us some idea of how severe the storm might have been. Like I said, Galilee, the microclimate that it was, not only would a great thunderstorm come up, but the waves could be 20 feet high at some points, sometimes. And the disciples thought that the storm was so severe that they were going to drown. Their lives were in danger. And if the disciples, who were seasoned fishermen, thought that the storm was bad, it must have been bad. They might have been out on the lake before. They would have experienced storms before. They would have experienced the rain, the waves, the thunder, the wind before. This time it was different. They thought that they were going to die. But then contrast that with Jesus, who was sleeping. But Jesus was sleeping. I want you to notice that Jesus was unfazed. And you might say, well, Jesus was down below in the cabin and his head was on a pillow and, you know, he was unaware. Well, forget that Sunday school kind of scenario, because, you know, when I was a kid in Sunday school, you know, Jesus was there and we coloured in our scripture union leaflet afterwards, didn't we? When I was a little boy, we used to do this. And Jesus was there, slept down below in a cabin below, completely dry. But the fishing boats that the disciples would have been sailing in were open boats. There wasn't a cabin below. There wasn't a below. It was just one level. And if anything, Jesus was just probably at the end of the boat or in the middle of the boat, away from them, just sort of reclining and asleep. Point I want to make is that he was getting wet as well. His clothes would have been wet. There would have been full buckets of water coming his way as well. But he was completely unfazed. He remained calm and assured. It reminds me of the story in the Old Testament of Daniel and the lion's den. You remember that? When Daniel was thrown in amongst the lions. And the story goes something like this. I've not got the scripture on the screen, so I'll see if I can remember it from memory. And that is that King Darius, after Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den and it had been sealed up, King Darius, it tells us, that had a restless night. He paced up and down all night. But then what did Daniel do, who was amongst the lions? Said he slept. He had confidence. A contrast. There was a great contrast here between the disciples and Jesus. Jesus calmly assured the disciples, living in fear and panic. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." So they wake Jesus. There is a statement of fear, "Lord, save us." But then there is a statement of fear, "We're going to drown." And fear and faith don't mix together. They looked up in faith, but then looked down in fear. We cannot say in one breath, "Jesus, you are my hope," and the next say, "There is no hope." We can't say with one breath, "Jesus, you are my healer," and then look down and say, "I'm never going to be healed." We can't say with one breath in faith, "Lord, you are my provider," and then look down and say, "I'm never going to have enough money." We can't say with one breath, "Jesus, save me," and then say, "It's impossible." We can't express faith looking at our problems. We express faith by looking to God. And what the disciples were doing is that they were looking at the circumstances instead of looking at Christ, looking at Jesus, looking and being reassured. Trust and panic don't belong together. Fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Faith is looking at your circumstances through God. God doesn't get shaken up by the storms. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. He does not panic. He remains consistent amid apparent chaos. He remains calm. "I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety," says Psalm 480. Proverbs 3:24-26 in the Message says this: you'll take afternoon naps without a worry. You'll enjoy a good night's sleep. No need to panic over alarms or surprises or predictions that doomsday is just around the corner, because God will be right there with you. He'll keep you safe and sound. Another thing to recognise here tonight is that God is bigger than your circumstances. If God is for us, who can be against us? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? No bully can push him around. No storm will shake him up. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He is my best friend and he loves me, and nothing can keep his love from reaching me. Hebrews 13:6 says this: so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Romans 8:38-39: for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I can walk by faith, because God is bigger than any circumstance that I find myself in. God was bigger than the storm. How does he demonstrate that he's bigger than the storm? Because he gets something, tells it to shut up. And tonight we can trust in Jesus, who is bigger than any storm that we're going through. Because we trust in Jesus, there is no need to panic. There is no need to fear. There is no need to be worried. Because whatever is happening in your life, and I know that there are many different things happening in different people's lives, whatever's happening in your life tonight is not too big for God. And he is able. And even if it's the enemy that is coming against you full strength, Jesus is still in control. He rebuked it. And it was silent. I'm just going to conclude. Be still and be still. Hey? Be still and be still. Funny thing to say at the end of this message, isn't it? Maybe the enemy is coming in strong against you tonight. And we need to say to God, we need to say, Jesus, will you just shout your rebuke to the enemy? Be still. Silence the enemy. Or, be still. Don't panic. Just know that whatever you're going through, Jesus is bigger, and it doesn't faze him. Jesus has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. His hand, his righteous right hand, is with you, supporting you. Don't panic. Don't fear. Don't look at the circumstances. Look how big Jesus is. Be still. And know that I am God. And that nothing is too difficult for me. Be still and know that I am God. And that whatever storm is going your way, don't panic. I'm in control. You don't need to be faced. You don't need to be troubled. I'm here. So that's a very simple message for us tonight. Don't look at the circumstances. Look to God, who is bigger and who is in control.